10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Hey, I've got the campaign brief ready, built from last quarter's data and the competitive landscape.
Approved. Oh, agents, where would we be without you?
Somewhere with a lot more tabs open.
Create your first Monday agent in minutes at monday.com.
Hello and welcome to Brokenomics. Now, in this episode, I thought I would have a chat about AI because I have noticed that I quite like it. I think it's interesting and I think it's going to be transformational like the internet or computers all over again. But I have noticed that lots of commenters seem to really hate it and to the point where they appear quite angry that I don't dismiss it. And it's not that they just don't think it's a thing and therefore just kind of don't really care about it. It's much more that they are actually angry about AI. And I'm trying to get my head around this. It's like, well, why would you be angry about it? And I can't really remember now if people were just, I guess they must have been angry when the internet came along with the displacement that it causes, or that. Well, a lot of people, I do remember a lot of people thinking that it was going to be massively overhyped. Certainly the computers, I mean, computers are well documented. The back when computers first came along, somebody fairly famous, I can't remember who it was now, but somebody fairly famous said, there's demand for about 7 computers in the world, which is wrong. We have more than 7 computers in the world. In fact, I think I almost certainly have more than 7 computers myself. Yes, I do. Especially if you count smartphones, which are definitely computers. The rest of the family. Yes, I'm sure I do. Anyway, point is, I wanted to address this question of people really hating it. And is that because they think it's going to be disruptive? It's going to take something away? And this kind of feeds into the whole job debate. It's like, is AI going to come along and destroy jobs and basically diminish us? You know, it's just going to leave us with, you know, facsimiles of things as opposed to real things. Real creation and so on. Now, that is a broader philosophical point, but I can certainly address the jobs thing and look at the profile of jobs that are likely to be destroyed and the profile of the jobs that are likely to increase. Now, I'll give you my broad view. I think AI is going to both destroy and create an awful lot of jobs, and on net, it will create more jobs. But we need to kind of dig into what are the characteristics of the ones that are going away and what are the characteristics of the ones that are going to be more of. Now, put it very simply, I think what a lot of people are thinking is, look, if one worker plus AI can do the jobs of 5 workers, well, 4 workers are going to disappear then. And I think that is almost certainly going to happen at the level of the firm, but I think that across the economy as a whole, actually, you're going to see the complete opposite. You're going to see total number of demand for jobs, demand for people increase. And what I'm leaning on here is an old economic idea called Jevons paradox. So Jevon, can't remember his name now, rest of his name. I'm sure he had a first name. Let's call him Bob. Bob Jevon. He worked in steam engines, that kind of stuff. Coal. Essentially coal-based engines in 1865. Sounds about right. Anyway, Jevon noticed that as coal-based engines, steam engines essentially, were becoming more efficient and using less coal per engine per unit of work, the demand for coal was increasing, not decreasing. Which you might think, well, hang on, if you're using yet less coal per per engine. Why wouldn't you have total demand for coal go down? And actually, no, it's completely the opposite. What happened is that as engine efficiency increased, essentially as it became cheaper per unit of coal to do a unit of work, the demand for work increased as opposed to decreased. Now, this is and this is something that, economists have found, oh, that's very interesting, and they've studied it ever since. And I mean, computers, internet, I mean, a whole bunch of different new technologies have come along, and Jevons paradox seems to apply. You make doing work cheaper, you get more work, you don't get less work. Although it's not universal, and essentially what it all comes back to is demand elasticity. Is there a fixed demand for the thing? Or is there a demand which isn't currently being met? Now, with the Industrial Revolution, you can see how they would have thought about it at the time, right? They would have been looking at this and thinking, well, there are only so many loom jobs. There are only so many mill jobs, or, you know, whatever jobs that were around in 1865. And if steam comes along and it can replace a lot of the jobs in these industries, well, there's not going to be any jobs. And actually what happened is the ability to do those things became cheaper, required less people, and then those people were like, oh bugger, we've got nothing to do now. And then they thought of something to do, and then they did something else. And the number of jobs that existed in, I mean, even 50 years later, 1915, that simply didn't exist in 1865, enormous. And that process has just continued ever since. I mean, the job that I'm doing now didn't exist before the internet. It didn't really exist until innovations that were built off the back of the internet, freeing up people, led to, okay, social media, you know, early YouTube. Then Carl came along in whatever it was, 2013, I think he started. I mean, he was early. It doesn't seem that long ago to me, but then I'm old. New categories of jobs appear, and now, I mean, my daughter's school, they gave them an end of year book and they asked everybody what they wanted to do. And like, I remember spotting that 7% of them wanted to become YouTubers, a job that just didn't exist when their parents were born, unless they got very young parents, which is possible. But we're in a nice area, so we didn't get a lot of teen pregnancy. Yeah, so yes. Anyway, waffled about that. The point is, right, okay, how are we going to apply this to AI? Because we want to try and learn something useful out of this so that we can look at, well, maybe our own job or our children's job if they're getting into something, and say, well, how do you navigate through this so that you have a job, assuming you want a job? You might be in Britain and it actually pays better not to have a job, but you get where I'm going with this. So look, payroll, that's a good example. There is in any given company, you have a number of staff. And if you can process the payroll quicker, you don't need as many people doing the payroll. If they're doing it manually, you obviously need more. But if it's one person and an AI, when you can process the payroll quicker, I mean, the demand is very finite. It's get these number of payrolls done by the end of the... In fact, actually, a really good example is a bit before my time. But I remember when I was a young man speaking to an older man who was an accountant. And one of his friends was an accountant at a big firm, and his job was to produce the month-end management accounts. And it took him a whole month to do this. So there was always a month lag in getting your month-end reports from the previous but one month, right? And it took him a whole month to do this, and he nagged and he nagged and he nagged until he got this software package. Basically, he was doing, I mean, I guess he had a computer for Excel or something, but he didn't have a package which sort of just did it all for him. And they eventually got him this package, and it lowered the time it took him to produce the month-end management accounts from a whole month to one day. And he was savvy enough not to tell anyone. And so he used to do his work in a day, and then he spent the rest of his time printing out maps of his golf course and then basically sellotaping them together on a table and plotting his game, because golf was important to him for whatever reason. Anyway, at some point, that company probably figured out and they realized that they could actually have him do a little bit of management, month-end reporting, and something useful. But, you know, point is, you know, he was dealing with a fixed task with a fixed demand. And actually, what really got me thinking about this was there was this report in American Journal of Radiology, something like that. And radiology is a good example. Radiology is growing as a response to AI. And what's happening is that AI is making scans, specifically the populating of reports and interpreting the scans afterwards. It is making it faster and cheaper. And there's a huge unmet for scans, okay? And there's a real bottleneck in that there are only so many radiologists coming through medical school. I presume radiologists, are they doctors? I guess they are. They must be doctors. And maybe they do, 5 years of medical? I don't know. Somebody in the comments will know. But I'm guessing you do 5 years of medical school. First 3 years are fairly generic. And then the last 2 years, you know, specific to your thing. And then you go off down the radiology track. Anyway, there's just not enough of them. But the demands for scans is really high. And if you can process each individual scan faster, you can get some sort of efficiency gain there. Well, the cost per scan comes down and doctors are like, oh, I'm going to order more scans. And not only that, but scans is a bottleneck for the entire workflow of the hospital. So if you're waiting on a scan, well, not much happens. Or maybe you can't even get a scan because you're not considered high enough priority for a scan. If there's more scans, it generates more demand for everything else. Like, because, okay, we've done a scan and we've identified there is a weird looking lump and therefore somebody is going to have to do something as a result of that. And so as you make scans cheaper and faster to deliver by combining AIs with radiologists, you then not only do you get more radiologists because the cost is coming down and therefore doctors are ordering more, assuming they can train them, then the real bottleneck now becomes trained radiologists. It's leading to not only job increases with radiologists, but it's leading to a job increase of everybody else that would normally sit behind that in the production chain. So I guess what I'm leading to here, what I'm going to be trying building out, is the core idea is, look, if what you do is valuable and AI lets you do more of it, you will do more of it. And this notion, this default thing that I think people instantly go to, which is if AI, you know, makes doing whatever it is you do more efficient and cheaper, you will do less of it. That for me just doesn't make any bloody sense. Because if you're doing a thing and that thing makes you money and now you can do more of it and you can do more of it cheaper, you are going to do more of that thing, not less of that thing. Why on earth would you do less or remain fixed? You would, of course, you would expand. Anyone in business would know you would expand the moment you can do that. We've not found ways to really integrate AI effectively here at Lotus Eaters, but I mean there must be things that we could do. I mean, I don't know, automatically posting to YouTube and doing clips. I mean, that's somebody's job at the moment, so hopefully he doesn't watch this. But anyway, maybe we could replace that guy, or maybe we could just. Maybe we could just get him post on more, because at the moment he posts on, what is it, X and YouTube, Rumble, but we're not touching Instagram or TikTok or... Are we doing Facebook? I don't know if we're doing Facebook. Anyway, point is, that one guy could then do more and we'd presumably generate more business and then we could have more hosts or more other button people or, you know, you get the idea. You get the idea. Human intelligence is very expensive, very rationed, and if you can make intelligence cheaper, well, you get more, well, everything, analysis software, personalized services, or, you know, well, actually, and what I want to come to very much is you will get a whole bunch of businesses that had previously been considered too niche or just unviable to offer really as a business, but it's something that everybody would actually really like. Those businesses now become viable. But not every job is going to survive it, because if you're doing something where the demand for that thing is limited, and especially the output is standardized, and if AI can deliver that output directly without having to be mediated, if there's relatively little need for human judgment or trust or responsibility, I guess. But then that very much is going to be affected. So essentially, the episode question is, when AI lowers the cost of intelligence, do we use fewer humans to do the same things that we're already doing, or do we attempt to do vastly more things? Is it Jevons' paradox all over? Is it 1865? If we get rid of the mill workers and the loom workers, are we just going to have loads of unemployed people? Or are those people going to go off and do something else which previously wasn't viable because the unit cost of energy was too high? So we've got to look at jobs destroyed, jobs expanded, what are the common features, and then see if we can use that framework to tell us anything useful going forward. Now, like I say, I don't, even though I love AI, I don't get to use it as much as I would like to. And what I'm going to refer you to is Pete McCormack. We've had him on the show a couple of times. I did his show a couple of times. I think Fraz goes on there quite a bit. Pete McCormack, he's got this interview thing. And he revealed an absolutely fascinating anecdote in that he owns a football club, not a big one, not like a Man U, a real Bedford, I think it's called. And he was talking about how he got, I think it was Claude, and he spent best part of a week designing, and this is all himself, and he's not a programmer, he's not a technical guy at all, but just himself, he sat down and he built a whole, what we call a CRM package that runs the football club. So maybe I can get my editor to link the bit in. Maybe I should point him to it. But there's a fascinating bit where he's talking about it does, everything from tickets. So fans now turn up with a QR code and it links directly to who they are, picture profile. But it's more than that. It was every time he built a system where every time a goal is scored, they just toggle it to the right player and it puts it up on the screen. Goal scored, comes up with a picture of the player, updates the tally. But also it does things like if that player is on a goal bonus, that then goes straight through to payroll so that they get it. And before the game, the manager hands over his team sheet. And that now he does it digitally through this system that he built by himself as a non-techie. And then that also links to payroll and it links to stats and it links to it automatically posts online or basically a full suite of basically a CRM package for a full football club. Now, a full small football club would never normally have a software package. I remember, in one of my previous jobs, I was working for this sort of wealth management type brokerage thing. And we spent £4 million on getting a sort of end-to-end CRM package. And that was actually based on some American's firm CRM package. So actually the £4 million was integration and adaptation of their system to work in our way. And it took us 18 months. And there was like five of us who were in the firm. I was one of them who got assigned to this 18-month project. The firm that we were using, they maybe had, more than five people, but they had another five people that were assigned to this project. And then we brought in a couple of consultants, maybe another three or four consultants. So we had like 13, 14 people plus senior management time when that was appropriate, plus £4 million to build something, which, I mean, Pete did his version of it for his football club by himself in a week. And I think he said he spent like six grand or something? I can't remember how much he said, but he spent a fair bit of money. Well, I say a fair bit of money. It's not £4 million bloody quid, is it? He spent money on running the AI at a high level, high demand, lots of tokens, but still £6 grand to get an integrated CRM package for a full football team that does everything from coffee sales to ticket entrance to payroll to posting. I mean, just bloody extraordinary, absolutely extraordinary. Which then results in a better experience. And the humans he does have, he can then do on the things that humans need to do, which is relationship management and dealing with other people, which is ultimately where you want them directed, not sat around doing some other bloody thing. Anyway, so the point is, right, I don't get to use AI for this job as much as I'd like. So I force myself to do some slides for this episode, and I produce them using AI. Now, you might think I was cheating, that I was being lazy. I wasn't actually. It took me a lot bloody longer than if I'd done it myself, because the image generation thing kept failing and it kept getting it wrong. And I had to iterate a whole bunch of times and watch it fail. And every time it, you know, every time it processes it to like 3 or 4 minutes. So I ended up playing a lot of Blattro on my second monitor while I was waiting for things to complete. And a couple of times I just gave up and thought I'd just bloody do the slides myself. But I didn't. I stuck with it because I wanted to have AI produced something for an episode on AI. I mean, more broadly, I do find, I'm sorry, I'm waffling here a little bit, but I do find AI extremely helpful already on some things. So I'll tell you how I use AI on Brokenomics at the moment. Is I used to have to read a report and then think, oh, that wasn't actually very useful and I can't get an episode out of that, and then read another one or watch a whole bunch of podcasts. Now what I can do is I mean, for example, when I left work on Tuesday, there were like 3 long podcasts that I could have listened to on the way home. And what I did is I fed each of them into AI, who knows me quite well by now. And I said, look, read the transcripts of these 3. Tell me which one I'm going to be most interested in and why. And it spat that out. And it turned out to be an interview with Jason Yuong of NVIDIA. And it said, you'll find this one most interesting because of these points. Actually, it put another one first, but I disagreed with the points and thought, yeah, I'm going to watch the Jason Yuong one. So that's really helpful. So in terms of input coming in, that's really good. But also, whenever I encounter a report now, again, I can do the same thing. I can drop a 200-page PDF into it and say, what are the key points from here? And what are the things that you think, knowing me, that I'd be most interested in? It spits it all out. And so I went from reading or skimming. I used to skim maybe a 1 report a week because I just didn't have time to do anything more than that. Now I can load like 7 or 8 in a week and drop them in and say which of these are going to move the dial for me, and it will tell me and the bits, and I can get it to draw it out. And I used to then go to the report and go to the bits and read them and think that was interesting. But increasingly, I can just get it to produce summaries and pull out extracts and say go and extract that bit, and I've got various segments. I think I must have used it on AI on Brokenomics at some point, but definitely used it on segments. So I was like, yeah, okay, dig in and find me the relevant stuff. What it's not useful yet is producing an episode, because I mean, obviously I'm sat in a camera, and if I tried to get it to produce a script, it wouldn't sound like me. So there's no point in doing that. But I am looking for ways to simplify and speed up the process so that I can do more content elsewhere. And so I insisted on doing these slides. So we have a look. I'm going to have to, I don't know why we don't have a screen in here. I'm going to have to pull up a screen. Right. So you'll notice if you've ever, because I do sometimes slides for lads out, you've probably noticed already that it's laid out better and designed better, and there's probably fewer spelling mistakes. So there's that. But anyway, I did actually put quite a bit of work of telling it what to do and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, so I went off and I found these examples of jobs and firms that have been damaged by AI and firms and jobs that have been expanded. So I loaded into it articles about customer service and white collar, and there was a PwC report I loaded in, and I got it to produce this. So anyway, Chegg's, yeah, that's an example of, yeah, all the jobs that have been lost. Customer services, there was an article on Klarn that, well, we get into it anyway. Anyway, let's just get on to the next slide. Right, so case study 1, Chegg. So this is a company that was doing basically teaching help. So if you had a student and you wanted to give them help, you would sign them up to this service and they could get answers to questions, and it was a lookup database and study aids, all that kind of stuff. Now, essentially, that entire stack has been taken by AI. Instead of going on Chegg and saying, you know, I want to learn about whatever subject and getting an answer which isn't particularly bespoke, you could just go on AI and say, well, tell me about the bloody Spanish Civil War, whatever it is you're working on at the moment, and it will give you an answer, and it's much more adept. So this Chegg company, so they... Once AI started to get really in there, May 2025, they had to cut 248 jobs, which is 22% of their workforce. And then a short while later, within the year, they then cut another 388 jobs, which is 45% of their remaining workforce. And I think they just go. Presumably, the only people still using the service are people who had just forgotten to cancel it. But you can replace the entire thing with AI. So yeah, hundreds of job losses, company, off it goes. Don't need you anymore. AI is better. If you enjoyed that content, and of course you did because you are a smart person, then why don't you go over to lotuseaters.com where you can watch the whole episode for as little as £5 a month, which really is not much money at all, and you get loads of really good content.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.